Good morning and welcome to Healing School at High Point Church on this nice, cool Thursday morning here in Macon, Georgia. We're going to be talking some more today about the healing power of our Lord Jesus that is toward me. And then we'll tell you what today's session is going to be. This is really the third session in this series. And I want to welcome those of you who, not only who are here, but those of you who may be watching a upload of this on Facebook or listening to the website at highpointmacon.com. And I just encourage you to get your Bibles out. You'll be able to see it on the screen. But see this today with your own eyes the best you can. And meditate in it, because I am convinced that the things that are being taught here at Healing School, just like on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, are meant for such a time as this, because there is a change that I believe the Lord wants to bring about in us. So, healing power toward me. In the first two sessions, and I'm going to do a review since it's been a few weeks since I taught this. First session, we talked about I believe in the power. And the second session, we talked about believe His power and you will see it. And so today, I want to just review a couple of the scriptures that we went through, just to set the table for what we're going to get into in this third session. Luke 5:17 is where we have really placed an anchor for this study. And it says, one day he, talking about Jesus, was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And this is the phrase that we begin to focus on. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And so let me just declare, that is true for those of you who are here with us today. It's true for those of you who are listening or watching on Facebook. The power of the Lord is present, not just here in this place, but with you to perform healing. And we've got to remember that this is the same power that already dwells in us. Now, let me just run through some examples of some power we looked at, because we want to build our faith in this area so that we can believe in the power. Genesis 1, creation, the power that was exerted there. Exodus 14, with the deliverance of the children of Israel across the dry land on the Red Sea. 2 Kings 6, when we saw that an axe did swim. I just love saying that. And let me encourage you, if you have not heard those two, they're on both the website at High Point and they're on Facebook. Go back and listen to it, because this one will just mean much more to you today. We also looked at fire coming down. We're going to see some more fire representative of the power of the Lord today. We looked at New Testament examples from the conception of Jesus with Mary as the angel talked to her. Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood who really what? Took her healing. And then we saw in Mark 1, the leper who was healed. He said, I know you can. In other words, he acknowledged the power, but he wasn't sure of the will. And so we see both of those. We see all the power of the Lord displayed in each of those, and we looked at several others. Now, the word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It literally means a force, but it's referring to miraculous type power. And it comes from a word which means to make possible. So really what we're talking about is power that makes possible. And you say, makes what possible? Whatever you need. That power is available to us today for that. We looked at Ephesians 1, part of the apostolic prayer. We started in verse 19 there. And it says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power? And this is where we got the title for this from. Toward us who believe. Now, you can't separate that power being toward us from believing in that power. And it says, these are in accordance with the working of the might, or strength of his might, or the power of his might. And when did we see that? For you and I, the big thing we saw was when it was brought about in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And what is that right hand? The hand of power in the heavenly places. And then in 21, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion. So we are seeing here that not only in this age, but in the age to come. And we're actually going to be talking the next time I teach about having tasted of the power of the ages to come. So what we see is that power is most high. It is over every other element of power in the earth. We also spent some time in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, and it's worth us looking at again. Paul said here that his message and his preaching were not in just persuasive words of wisdom. And I don't want you just to believe something because I say it, but in demonstration, in a manifestation of Spirit and power. And we're going to see more of this today, of the Spirit, of the presence of God, and of that power. In verse 5, so that our faith would be not based on the wisdom of men, but on what? The power of God. Praise the Lord. And again, we see that power that had us born again when Jesus was raised up from the dead is more power was exerted toward you and I then than ever had been before in God's kingdom here. And finally, you just want to look at Romans 1:16, and I want to read you this from the Passion Translation. Now, this is talking about the power of God for salvation. But the Passion says this, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message, and this is a phrase I like, of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. God's liberating power unleashed in us. How? Through our Lord Jesus. And salvation here that we've been talking about is much more than just a ticket to heaven. We're talking about all that salvation encompasses, and yes, healing is a part of it. So I'm believing today that that same power, if you're believing for healing, is going to manifest itself. It's going to be demonstrated on your behalf, towards you, in your body for a healing that you need. Now today, the focus that I want to have, and this is the title that the Lord gave me, His Presence in Glory and in Power. So go with me to Psalm 29. And we're going to look through Psalm 29, read through it. This is a Psalm of David, and we're studying today from the New American Standard. I think King James starts out give, but I like the word here, ascribe. And let me just remind you what ascribe means. It means give credit to the one for what originates there. That's kind of my transliteration of it. In other words, recognize God as the one from whom all things begin and come from. And look at what it says. Ascribe to the Lord's, O sons of the mighty. Now, we could stop and teach on that second phrase for a long time. You need to recognize you are a son of Almighty God. That's your daddy that we're talking about praising here. So we're going to recognize Him, the Lord, as the source of glory and strength, or we might say power. And then look at verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship in holy array. And then it picks up in verse 3, and it really goes on and talks about why we want to ascribe glory to the Lord. Listen to what it says. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. So he's talking about His voice being what? Full of glory and power. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Now, let's just stop there. We know that because God cannot lie. If He says it, it will what? It will come to pass. And let me just say to you, even if it involves things He's asked you to do and I to do, if I refuse, what He said is still going to come to pass. The question is, am I going to be involved in it or not? The voice of the Lord is majestic. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. And verse 6 says, He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Zion like a young wild ox. Now, Zion refers to Mount Hermon, and Lebanon is talking about the mountain. So He makes the mountains really skip and move. And it just continues on. Down, look at verse 9, if we can skip there, please, Robert. says, the Lord makes the deer to calf and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. Do you reckon that ought to be part of what comes out of this temple of God with you and I, ascribing glory to him? And then I want you to see verse 11. It says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So what do we get here? The Lord desires for his strength, his power, to be ours. And we're going to look at that much more detail the next time we teach. But I just want you to see, it is the heart's desire, the heart of the Lord's desire to empower you. He's given us that glory by coming to dwell in us. That power comes with it. And so just think about now, all this power that we've just read about in this psalm. And then think about the throne of God, the power that there must be there, the glory that there must be there. And I don't want you to forget one other thing that's there. His goodness, which is based on his love. His glory and his power are there on our behalf, or come to us on our behalf, because of his great love and his goodness to you and I. Oh, the power that must be there. Now, before we move on from this, I want you to just think back to verse 4, because it started by saying, the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic. And the reason I want to go this is I want you to think about for just a moment, before we really jump into the rest of this, what this means to you and I. You've heard us say that Reinhard Bonnke heard from the Lord, telling him that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. And so what I want us to begin to see is that our words also contain power that the Lord will watch over to do what? To perform those words. The other part of that, I think about Psalm 22, verse 3, which says this, yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Enthroned. So when we praise him, when we ascribe glory and power to him and are praising him, what is that doing? We know that he is enthroned, that he is ever present there with us. But it's not just building him up, it's building us up so that we see who we are, what we have in him. Now, this verse also, enthroned there, literally means the same thing as we talk about in the New Testament with the Lord abides with us. It has that connotation of he's there to stay. It's not a hotel he's created in us. It is a residence where he comes to abide, to dwell in. But the other part of this verse that I like is the word for praise used here is the Hebrew word, T-E-H-I-L-L-A, Tehillah. And it actually has an implication of spontaneous praise. I think of it as from down in your spirit, rising up, whether it's in English or in your prayer language. And it literally, in Psalm 40, verse 3, the scripture reads that he put a new song in our heart, in my mouth, even praise. The word there is that same word. So it's like singing that new song spontaneously to him and giving him worship. And he becomes enthroned in that praise. And you're going to see with the next scriptures we begin to read, with all he is. Brings it all when we start praising him. Now, I want to take just a moment and look at three verses rather quickly that give a description of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:17, the verse that we did not read prior in this prayer. Look at what it says. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the phrase, the Father of glory. So Jesus is Father, and our Father is recognized as what? The Lord, or the Father of glory. Now, concerning Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 2, and I want to start in verse 7. if we can. And let me just read it. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And when it says to our glory, he's saying that he's predestined it to be revealed to bring us into that glory. And then in verse 8 says, this wisdom which none of the rulers have understood, for if they had understood it, they would have not crucified, and then here's the phrase, the Lord of glory. So Father of glory, Lord of glory. And we're talking today about glory and power. And then in 1 Peter verse 4, chapter 4, in verse 12, it begins talking about don't be surprised when you go through a fiery ordeal. Now, this is not talking about things like sickness, because we've been redeemed from that. It's talking about those things, that persecution that comes because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And it talks about, in verse 13 then, to the degree that we share in those sufferings, that we ought to do what? Keep on rejoicing. That's praising, that's worshiping. Why? So at the revelation of His glory, so as we see who He really is, see Him in the fullness of His glory, that we may rejoice with exultation, in other words, even more. And then it says again, if you're reviled, if you're suffering persecution for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Now, I know we may not feel like it sometime, but that's what the Word tells us. That's the truth. And why are we blessed? Because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of glory and of God, the same Spirit, rests upon you and I. So Father of glory, Lord of glory, Jesus, and the Spirit of glory. And let me just go through two verses just to remind you, 1 Corinthians 3:16, who you and I are. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that Spirit, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So I can read it this way, and that the Spirit of glory dwells in you. Or I could say that the Father of glory dwells in you. And I could say that Jesus, full of glory, dwells in you and I. And then the other verse is 1 Corinthians 6:19. In that same book, Paul writes, or do you not know that your temple is a temple of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of glory, who is in you, whom you have from God, and therefore we are not our own. So as we go through the examples of His presence being with us today, I want you just to have in your mind this recollection that you have house, that you allow to dwell in you by the grace of God, the pinnacle of His grace, I believe, the Spirit of glory. And I don't want you to forget what this series is called, His Healing Power Toward You. The Amplified says, in and into you. So with that, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 7. And we're going to begin to talk about the presence of the Lord dwelling. Now, this is a chapter that is followed when Solomon has been instructed to build the temple. And he's finished the temple. And he's gone through some words to the children of Israel. And then he began a prayer. And if you really go back and study chapter 6, which I would encourage you to do sometime, you will see that a lot of the things that Solomon asked or requested, the Lord, in what we're about to read, grants by His words. So we're going to read the first three verses of this chapter, and then we'll skip down some. Now, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 2, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And then the third verse, and the sons of Israel, seeing fire come down, and seeing, I'm inserting that for emphasis sake, seeing the glory of God upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise. Why are they worshiping and giving praise? Because they have seen the glory and the power. to the Lord. And what, look at what they're saying. So they're not just talking about, yes, He's glory and yes, He's power, but they go back to why. Truly, for certain, the Lord is good. Truly, His loving kindness is everlasting. The Lord is good, and His mercy or His loving kindness endures forever. Now, go back to verse 1 if we can. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The fire that came down from heaven, a sign of His power, just like we saw when Elijah had the battle with the prophets of Baal and fire came down. And it's interesting. The Lord reminded me as I was studying for this that in that account, Elijah urged the people, hey, come near. Come up. And what do we hear? Come up close to me. And what do we hear the Lord saying to us today? Come up. In Revelation, come on up. See things the way I see them. Experience what I'm experiencing. And I think this is so true today. But look at what it says. He'd finished praying. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Let's stop there. That was good fire. That was of His goodness because it did what? This temple that He had built, which had a lot of wood in it because the cedars of Lebanon were used throughout that thing. Nothing was impacted except what? The burnt offering and the sacrifices. So here we've got an act of power that most people would say power like this is going to destroy something. That doesn't. It just accepts the sacrifice that had been offered. And then the next statement says, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now I'm going to come back to this one in just a moment, but I just want you to just let this sink into what we're saying. The glory filled the house so that, or such that, verse 2, that the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Now, we would ask the question then, well, let me back up. The people, the children of Israel, all the people who were there that day, saw the fire. But it also says they saw the what? The glory. So what does that tell us? The glory is truly a tangible substance. In the spirit realm is where it exists, but it is made visible on occasion to you and I here. And so I would ask the question then, what was this cloud that they saw? And the best way to answer a question that you see or that you may have because of Scripture is to do what? Is to go to Scripture and get an answer. So let's go to the book of Revelation and look at one verse, the 15th chapter and the 8th verse. Now this is talking about when they're looking at the temple not made with hands, the heavenly temple. And look what it says. And the temple was filled with smoke. Might that be a cloud? Now, it's not smoke that's bad smoke because there's no bad in heaven. It is what? Good smoke. It's smoke that can heal your body or a cloud that can heal your body. And look what is the substance of that smoke. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. So as we think about the glory of God coming down, I don't want you just to think it was something that we could ooh and ah about. But it is something that comes down. It is substance. It is real that comes down. It prohibited, it was so thick that it prohibited the priests from going in. And it came down and filled the temple. And it's what? This scripture tells us it's from the glory of God and from His power. So I want us to begin to think about these together, the glory of God. Now it's interesting to note here, and we're not going to have time to teach on the seven plagues, but that even in the heavenly temple, when this happened, when that glory got so great, again, around that throne, that no one was able to enter it at that point. All right, so let's continue on then. Verse 12 in this chapter of 2 Chronicles 7 says that after all this happened, the Lord appeared to Solomon that night, and he said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place as for myself as a house of sacrifice. May I submit to you that this is prophetic of you and I today? That we have been chosen by the Lord to be His temple, to be a place to where sacrifices are to be offered, and we're to present our body as a what? A living sacrifice, and we're to offer sacrifices of praise that we've already talked about. So what I want you to get this picture of is He has chosen you in your physical body to house His temple where He has chosen for His place as a house of sacrifice. And then He says in verse 14, a verse that we know and have prayed, and my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven. Now He doesn't say I might hear. He says I what? I will hear. Have your sins been forgiven? Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. So we're looking at this from Old Covenant. But look at this last phrase, and I will heal their land. Literally, it says, I will Rapha their land. Now, when a land is healed, it's not just talking about He's going to turn a desert into a fertile place where crops grow. Where does that transformation start? With people. With you and I. With this temple. So I want you to see that even in this, the Lord's desire is always toward healing. And then verses 15 and 16, we should never read 14 and stop. Look at what He says and see this as the Lord speaking about you. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer, and we can include praise in that, offered in this place. Glory to God, do you see that? His eyes are open towards you. Psalm 32 verse 8 says He guides us with His eye upon us. But this says His eyes are open to you and I, and His ears are attentive to what we're doing, to what we're praising, to what we're sacrificing to Him from that spirit, that spiritual sacrifice. And then in verse 16, let me just read this. It says, for I have chosen and consecrated this house. Now, what does consecrated mean? I've set it apart for a special use. So I've chosen and consecrated this house, talking about our body, that my name may be there forever. So whose name has been placed upon you? That sounds like the Aaronic blessing, doesn't it? Where it concludes by saying, and that is how I will place or put my name upon you. And then, this is just overwhelming to me. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Can I just say it this way? The Lord is saying to you and I that His eyes and His desire for you and I has been placed here perpetually. Glory, glory to God. Now, let's think back to verse 1 when the fire came and consumed the offering and the house was filled with the presence, with the glory of God. Is there any reason that we should not be experiencing this today in our lives? I see a lot of heads. Yet the fact is, we aren't as much as we should. And this is what I believe the Lord wants to encourage us with today, is that as we reviewed what had been spoken previously, have our faith in or believing in the power of God. So this is not a unique experience in Scripture either. So I would ask you, why are we looking at it? And again, I believe it's because the Lord is telling us, come on up. I want you to see this. I want you to get the revelation of who I am, so that we increase the reverence, the trust, the faith, the joy that we have from this. Can I just remind you of what Psalm 16:11 says? It says, you will make known to me the path of life, for in your presence is fullness of joy. Now, that's a Selah moment for me. No matter what's going on with me, in His presence is fullness of joy. But if I'm in His presence, if His presence is manifesting, then what is coming? That glory with power. And so it's not just, okay, endure it, have joy while you endure it. It's that presence brings healing to you and I. And we'll share some experiences that I have seen with that. The other thing that I want to just share with you here is look at Psalm 111. Why are we studying this? Because we want to increase our faith with it. But look what the Scripture says in Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and the assembly. So that's talking about us today, gathered here today. But it can also be what? Us at home. And so I would ask, why are we doing that? Well, verse 2 answers it. Great are the works of the Lord. And this second phrase is equally important. They are studied by all who delight in them. Do we have such reverence and awe and honor toward the works of the Lord? Now, certainly we do toward His name, but do we honor those works that He's done on behest of mankind? Not just what I get today, but what He's done in the past. Do we study those? Do we see how things manifested? What the saints of old did and how the Spirit of the Lord worked through them? How much more then should it be happening through us today? Verse 3 goes on and says, splendid and majestic is His work, the evidence of His power, and His righteousness endures forever. And this verse 4 is a real key, and it's a key for you and I. It's one reason we want to study what He's done. He has made His wonders to be remembered. When we remember what He's done for us, what are we expressing? Our thanksgiving for it. What He's done for us. Who He is. And then it concludes this section by saying, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your love for us. So let's look at a few more of these. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. But as you do this, just remember, Moses first saw the fire, the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord in what? A burning bush. A fire that didn't consume what it was burning in. And what did the Lord tell him? This is holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because He was there. The children of Israel first saw the cloud when? The night before they crossed the Red Sea, when that cloud, the presence of God, separated them from the Egyptians. And what did that cloud do? They followed it for 40 years around. If it didn't move, they didn't move. When it moved, they did. Now that cloud is really symbolic of the Holy Spirit being in us, leading and guiding us. So we can ask the question, am I as sensitive to the Holy Spirit in me as they were to that cloud that they all could see? But another point that I don't want you to forget is that all the children of Israel saw the glory of God present in that cloud because it was lightning in it. It gave them cover by day and light by night. Verse 18. So the Lord has told the children of Israel, I'm going to come down and talk with you. They got a surprise. because he actually came down on the mountain. And here's what they saw. All the people, that's so important, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Look at what his presence did when it hit matter. Yet it didn't destroy the mountain. But go back to that first three words. All the people, they saw it. Surely we ought to be seeing it. But guess who else is going to see it when they don't believe, when it begins to manifest in us? All the people. And when they saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. In fact, verse 19 says, they then said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but don't let God speak to us or we'll die." Now, does that remind you of what we read in Psalm 29 earlier? The voice of the Lord is powerful. It break things. They were just totally scared, freaked out. And verse 20 basically says, Moses said, the Lord doesn't want you to be frightened. He just wants you to have reverence, to have a fear of Him, more reverence, so that you won't sin. Isn't that one reason that we want to please God? Because He's placed His presence in us, He's with us, and we need to know that so that we don't do the things that aren't pleasing to Him. So He's there with us all the time, but we're not seeing that power manifest in the same way all the time. Let's look at another example. Let's go to Exodus 24. And in Exodus 24, I want to read starting in, we've got time, verses 10 and 11. Now, this is an account of when the 70 elders and three or four other guys and Joshua were with Moses. And it says they saw this. They saw the God of Israel, and under His feet appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Verse 11, yet He did not stretch His hand out against them and the nobles, and they saw God and ate and drank. I believe even people today are just fearful of getting in God's presence because they haven't forgotten their past. But yet we see here, He didn't stretch out His hand and harm them. He invited them to partake of that presence, and it got even stronger. Right after that, verse 12, the Lord says to Moses, "Come up to Me." And that's the same thing I hear the Lord telling us today. Come on up. See yourself as I see you. See yourself healed. See things, good things happening for you. And so Moses went up. He said, come on up to the mountain and remain there. And that's when He gave him the tablets with the Ten Commandments. And look at verse 13. So Moses arose with Joshua, the son, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. So here, where this glory is so strong and such power in it, this time the Lord says, come on in. He graced him to be able to come in. We need not have any fear of going boldly to that throne of grace, if I can use that analogy from Hebrews. But also when I read this, notice who went with him. Joshua did. Do you reckon that in the 33rd chapter, when Scripture is talking about Joshua and Moses went into the tent of the meeting to meet with the Lord, where Moses argued with him to save the people and not destroy them. And it says, Moses left, but Joshua did what? He remained. Do you think that he saw the value and the benefit of staying there because he'd already spent time with the Lord? It drew him back to desiring that same presence that he had experienced with Moses on the mountain. Man, I get chill bumps just thinking about that. And then we look down at verse 15. Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And verse 18 then says, Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up the mountain, and he was on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Glory be to God. He is inviting us to come on up, to be in His presence. Now, to be in that presence, to see it, we need to begin to do what? Believe in the power. Understand what that presence is. It is His glory manifesting upon us. The anointing of God coming down. And coming up in that place to where He is. And you can do that. You can become and train yourself. Pastor Robert teaches about this often. To recognize that glory and to enter into that glory. It's not necessarily being talking about taking you away, but here on earth, having that glory come and manifest where you are. And there will be different degrees of how great that glory is. We saw earlier that what? The priest could not enter. Look at the last chapter of Exodus, which is 40 and the 33rd verse. And we'll see this in Exodus 40, 33. It says that Moses, I want to look at the last sentence here. Moses finished the work of the tabernacle. He got this while he was on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days in His glory, in His power. In verse 34 then, goes on to say, then, so Moses finished, and unexpected, it wasn't in their order of service, the cloud covered the tent of the meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. So I stop us again. What is that glory of the Lord? What is that cloud? It is His glory and His power. It is real substance. And then look at what verse 35 starts out. Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. We must change the way we view the glory of God and even the power of God as something that is imaginary or is not real to something that is actual spiritual substance that can impact us today. We must change that view. So here's Moses, can't go in. Now you would say, all right, how about New Testament? Well, let me just go through a couple and then I want to share some personal things. Do you remember when Jesus was approached by the cohort that were coming to arrest Him? And what did He say to them? I am. In effect, what was He saying? I am the Lord. In other words, He was declaring that the presence of the Lord was with Him. And as soon as He spoke that, what happened? The soldiers could not stand. Just like the priest and the people we saw earlier could not stand when the glory fell upon them. So these are things that we ought to be expecting in our lives and to be demonstrated. In Acts 2, it says, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it did what? Filled that room as they were gathered there in that one place. It filled the whole house. What filled the house? The sound, like that mighty rushing wind. But what also happened with that sound? People heard it and they came running to it. Because it said, what are you drunk here at 9 o'clock in the morning? So that sound was something that not just manifested there, but that glory that of the Lord filling that room with His Spirit permeated the whole region of Jerusalem there. And then in the next verse, it talks about what happened. And we see fire coming here. A different form though. A fire from heaven. Appearing as tongues. And it distributed itself. And it rested on them. And what did Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1:8? Tarry here for you're going to be endued with power. The glory and the power. We see it again. We see it in Acts 4. Peter and John had raised the gentleman up at the Gate Beautiful and they had elevated them to be gods. And they said, no, it's by the name of Jesus, then the power of that name that this man has been raised. And look at the prayer that after they come to their own group, And it's almost like I sense the Lord. You can show that again, Robert, if you would. In 29, Acts 4, 29. They begin to pray, and it's like I can see that we ought to be praying in this same accord, in this same unity. And look at what it says. Take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. In other words, we know we did some things and said some things that got us in trouble. Let's do it again. Then 30 says, we're going to do that while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that pleased the Lord that they would say, let it happen through us. Give us more. We don't care if we get more persecution. We are willing to do it because people noticed. All the people perceived the power. Do you remember that earlier? And so when they had prayed, where they were gathered together was shaken. They had an earthquake, and it shook just where they were and didn't destroy the house. Why? The glory and the power and His goodness that we talked about earlier. And then it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God in boldness. So here's another account where we see the goodness of God manifested, Him showing Himself strong to them, that they're walking in the right way, that they're doing what pleases Him. And we see an earthquake that does no damage. Do you remember another earthquake that didn't do damage? 16th chapter of Acts. Paul and Silas have dealt with a spirit of divination in that girl. They threw him in jail. They beat him. And they were there doing what in Acts 16? Worshiping God. You reckon they were praising His mighty works? You reckon they were ascribing glory to Him and power to Him? I sense that's what they were doing. And what happened? They had another earthquake. But it only did good. It just shook the prison and all the shackles were removed. Now, folks, that's a prophetic word toward us of things that have bound us up, particularly in the mental realm, in our thought life. If there are things that have bound you up, when you ascribe glory to God and expect and power, and you expect it to manifest through you, you can see an earthquake come that will loose you of everything that has bound you up. What people have said, what they've done, nothing is going to bother you when you're set free in that manner. How about Peter in Acts 5? People just wanted to get under his shadow. Now, when I think about a shadow, I can see a cloud covering the sun and creating that shadow, or covering that person and creating a shadow from the sun shining it. But the shadow didn't heal. But what did? The presence, the anointing, the glory and the power that was upon him that was so strong that if people just got near him, it manifested. And then let's talk about Jesus. Three different gospels. It talks about Luke 9 is what I wrote in my notes. He has gone up to the mountain to pray, took some of his disciples with him, and there he was talking. Priest and prophet were represented. And what happened? The cloud came upon him, and his face was changed. His clothing became white and glowing as he talked with both Moses as the priest and Elijah as the prophet. And then, when he came down the mountain, what was happening to his face? It was shining also. But what happened right after that? Healing manifested to the demoniac. So I just want you to see this presence is available in our new covenant. If we see what happened in the old repeated in the new, we know it's for us today. So I want to close just with a personal testimony of BJ and I and my sister. In 2013, just before we were moving to Macon, and some of you have heard me share this before, BJ was attacked with vertigo. Started one day in church, of all places, where she just got sick to her stomach. We didn't know what it was. It went on for a while, too long. One night we were watching a broadcast of a prayer session up in Branson, Missouri. And as we were watching that, the Lord just came upon me. And we'll talk about gifts of the Spirit next week, because that's just another manifestation of His power. And it was like a gift of faith just came on me with a word of wisdom. And the Lord showed me exactly what to proclaim over her. So I did. And as I did, her whole countenance changed. And she said out of her mouth, "Why is the room lighting up? It's getting brighter." What was happening? The glory of God and the power was beginning to manifest. She then experienced, she said, "I feel like there's something warm just flowing over me, and it just feels like His love." And we worshiped and stayed in that. And I didn't see the lights get brighter. I didn't see it in the Spirit as she did. And so I'm sitting there watching her revel in it, saying, "Why not me, Lord?" But what? This time it was not about me. That's how we ought to be able to manifest that glory for others who need it. So at the end of this time, I don't want you to think we just had a good time in the presence of God. When she got through with this, that stuff was gone. Now, did it try to come back? Yes. And one day, we were traveling back to Macon. We'd stopped in Greenville, South Carolina to put some gas in the car. And as I began to pull out of the gas station, I looked at her and I said, "Is that trying to come back on you?" And she just nodded yes. So I spoke those same words. And the same thing began to happen, except this time with laughing. The joy just overwhelmed her. And this time, I got to experience a little bit of it. And I know as we drove from Greenville down I-85 toward Atlanta, and I should add, I was hungry, and I wanted to stop, and she said, "I can't eat right now." So we just kept going. But laughing and praising, all able to drive it, you know, if it had gotten so bad, I would have pulled over, but it wasn't that bad. We stop when she says, "I'm hungry." We get out of the car, and I could accuse her like the people accuse the folks in the upper room. I get out of the car, and she does, and she says, "Grab hold of me. I'm drunk." The power of God was still upon her. Now, that same trip, we came on to Macon, got in late in the afternoon to Mom's. Tricia was there, and we had something to eat there. And I don't remember clearly if this happened before or after the meal, but you had a terrible headache and was just overwhelmed by it. And she said, "Would you pray?" I walked over. I laid my hands. I didn't perceive anything. All of a sudden, she's saying, "There's like a glory that has come upon us, like a cloud has enveloped us." And guess what? We just didn't have fun in the cloud. The power that was in that cloud with the glory set her free from the headache. Now, is this an everyday occurrence in my life? No. Do I want to see more of it? Absolutely. And I am pressing into God. I am coming on up, as I think He's encouraging all of us to do. This is our Father. This is El Shaddai, the God Almighty. This is El Elyon, God Most High. This is our God who manifests in this glory and with this power, Jehovah Rapha. And I want to say to you, listening and looking to this video, He's present here today in this room. But I'm just going to declare once again, He's present there wherever you are, listening on your phone, on a computer, viewing it on Facebook. The Lord is present with you. And as you press into Him, you can expect that presence to manifest. Don't expect it to happen just like it did to us. You let the Lord minister to you as He wants. But know, as you step into that presence, as you pursue moving to that throne of grace to receive, to take mercy and to receive grace to help in your time of need, you're in His glory and you're in His power. And things of this earth must respond to that power, including those things that are wrong with your body. I just hear the Lord saying, cancer right now. My voice breaks cancer away. My voice separates it out. And that's for nobody here. I'm perceiving it's more online. I sense the Lord also saying to those of you online, there are some of you who are fighting heart issues, arrhythmia issues. In fact, that reminds me of one more case where BJ and I were praying for a lady in Tennessee who was having just repetitive heart racing. And as we prayed for her, she said, just something came over me. Back then, I didn't know if it was anointing or what. Today, I see it as the presence of God, as the glory of God with His power. And to this day, she's not had those again. And that's been 10 years. So there's someone there who is being set free now. The stronghold that the devil has had over you with your heart is being broken now. Blood vessels that are clogged. People are experiencing a change in that. And I just sense it's up in the upper part of your body. And that's really all I'm hearing now. But let me just encourage you. Meditate on this word. See that the Lord wants to fellowship with you. And as you are in His presence, this flesh must give way to the power of God. Let Him invite you in. Get as close as you can. Come on up. Come on up. So let me pray for you online, and then we're going to pray for those here who would like prayer. Father, I thank You that today Your Word has been manifested in our hearts. You've placed it deep. We see You more clearly today, Father, for who You really are. We see You, the Father of glory. We see our Lord Jesus of glory. And Spirit of glory, we give You free rein in our lives. Guide us, direct us, and we will be obedient to move when You move and to stay put when You stay put. Tell us to. Father, we thank You for this encouraging word. I thank You that it's encouraging me, and my prayer is that it has encouraged others. And we give You, Father, we ascribe to You, Lord Jesus, all the glory, all the power. And it's in that precious name of Jesus that we all give thanks and say, amen.